want you to turn with me to Psalm 100, the 100th Psalm, and we're going to begin in verse 1. And we'll read the entire psalm. It's just got some great instruction here on how we're to live for the Lord. Notice he begins and he says, make a joyful shout. One translation says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Woo, glory to God. Amen. That ought to get a shout in you. Amen. Just reading that just blesses you because it lets you know how good God is. And then God is speaking to us here through David, and he's telling us how we're to approach him. And also he's talking to us about our attitude in living for him. Amen. And what I want to minister for the next little bit is this, is having an attitude of gratitude. Hallelujah. Amen. In fact, I need to say it probably more than twice. Your attitude will determine your altitude. Amen. Either how high or how low you're going to go is going to be determined by your attitude in life, how you're going to deal with it. Amen. And the Lord tells us that we are not to live for him out of, you know, requirement, out of duty. We're not to live for him and approach him because, well, you know, we have to. In other words, we're not under the law where we have to do these things. We're under grace where we get to do these things. Amen. And so the Lord is saying, take it out of a religious duty and bring it over into a righteous relationship. Amen. Are you hearing me? He's saying when you do these things, don't do it because you have to. Do it because you get to. Live for God because you want to, not because you're afraid you're going to, you know, die and go to hell someday. Amen. Now, not going to hell is a good motivation, but that ought not be the reason you're serving the Lord. Amen. You should serve the Lord because you love him. Amen. You don't have to go to church because you expect God to bless you and you don't want to forsake the assembling of yourselves with others so that you can get your faith renewed. Hallelujah. You have to live for God on the job so that you can let people see that Jesus is your Lord. Amen. And so the Lord speaks to us here and he tells us here in this verse 1, he says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all you lands, serve the Lord with gladness. Notice he's talking to us. He says that we're to be joyful and thankful in our walk with God. Amen. I don't know about you, but I enjoy being a Christian. Amen. I take joy in being saved. It's rejoicing. I'm thankful that I'm saved tonight. I'm thankful that God is my God. Hallelujah. Notice then he goes in verse 2 and he says, serve the Lord with gladness. That word serve there in Hebrew means to dress, to labor, to work and worship. Woo, glory to God. We're to dress in such a way that promotes the glory of God in our lives. Amen. The Bible has some teachings on that, doesn't it? It talks about, you know, we're not to dress in a provocative way. We're not to dress in a carnal way, but we're to dress in a way that people know that we're serving the Lord, that we're living for God. Amen. In other words, it doesn't bring attention to the flesh. It brings attention to God. Amen. Now, we don't hear a whole lot about that, but I want to tell you what, without holiness, Hebrews 12 says you'll never see God, and righteousness is who you are with the Lord, and holiness is how you live for him. Amen. And so the Bible says here that we're to serve or we're to dress in such a way that glorifies God. Our labor, we're to labor with gladness. We're to work. Our work is to be an example of our commitment to Christ. In other words, you should do your work joyfully and not do it because you have to. Amen. And then it means to worship him. So he says, worship the Lord. Then he says, how am I supposed to do it? With gladness. The word gladness in the Hebrew means joyfulness. In other words, I'm to dress, live, work, walk, talk, minister, thank God, worship God, and serve God with a joyful, glad attitude. It means mirth. It means pleasure. It means rejoicing. It means have fun being a Christian. Amen. Hallelujah. How are you going to expect somebody that's out here depressed, beat down, and broken to want to serve a God if they see you down here depressed, beat down, and broken, and you say, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, I don't want what you got. Amen. No, we're supposed to have something that people want, and they're supposed to see it in our lives. To serve means to be a participant, amen? Get involved, labor, work with, do things, praise God. And God says you do it with a godly attitude, hallelujah. Then notice here in verse 3, he says this, know that the Lord, He is God. I always like to say this, know that the Lord, He is God, and you are not. Amen? And until He becomes God and you take a lower seat, you're going to be in trouble. Oh, I'm going to say it again. It just slid right over your head tonight. Praise God. Come on, get in here with me. Amen. I expect to have some amens in this service. Hallelujah. Don't make me amen myself. But anyway, he says, know that the Lord, He is God. And you are not. I'm adding that part. Meaning what? Until you let God be your God instead of you being your God, you're going to have trouble. What does that mean? He's Lord. Make Him Lord. Put Him in charge of your life. Serve Him. Don't try to make God serve you. Amen? And so he goes on and he says this, it is He who has made us and not we ourselves. In other words, there's no self-made Christians. You are, Ephesians 2:10 says you're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. In other words, God is the one that saved you. Amen? We're His workmanship. And then it goes on and he says this, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. So you need to wake up and realize I'm God's people. I'm one of His people. Amen. I'm a part of His kingdom. Jesus is my Lord. God is my Father. He created me and made me and formed me and made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. And He is God. And I didn't do this for myself. God did it for me. I got this by His grace and by His goodness and by His mercy. And now, praise God, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to rejoice in who I am in Christ Jesus and live with a grateful, thankful attitude unto God. Amen. In 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, you know what he says over there? But you are a chosen generation. God chose you out of the world. I got good news. He chose everybody, but you had to accept it. Amen? But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That's pretty good stuff, isn't it? God's own special people, the New King James says. I like that. Hallelujah. And you are to show forth and proclaim the virtues or the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Hallelujah. What's he saying? He's saying you should live with such gratitude and thankfulness unto God that you show forth the virtues of His power and of His grace and mercy to the world around you. They see Jesus in your life, amen? They see Jesus in your attitude. They see Jesus in your countenance. They see Jesus how you do your work. They see Jesus in how you treat people, hallelujah. And then he goes on in verse 10, he says, for we are now His people who were not a people, but now are the people of God, hallelujah. Once again, Peter reinforces what David says, we're God's people, amen? See, we were talking today, and I was sharing with someone, I said, you know what? It ought to be a thing that we're going about our business, not trying to witness to people, but just because of our attitude, just because of our countenance, just because of how we do things, people should watch us, and after a while, they should come up and say, you're a Christian, aren't you? Yep. Amen? They should be able to know that you're a Christian by how you serve the Lord and how you live for Him and how you walk and how you treat people and how you deal with things. Amen? And that's what David is saying. You and I have to have that attitude developed in our lives. Praise God. Now, notice what he says here in verses 4 and 5. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Everybody say thanksgiving. Hallelujah. In other words, you ought to be thankful. You ought to come to God with thanksgiving in your heart. And unto His courts with praise, be thankful to Him and bless His name. Ooh, glory to God. Have you noticed how many times God has talked to us about being thankful and thanking Him and praising Him? Amen. Notice He hadn't said anything about coming before His presence with requests. Inquiring, demanding, crying, begging, pleading, hollering, squalling, and bawling. Amen. But we're to be thankful to Him and come into His presence with thanksgiving and be thankful. The word thankful there in Hebrew means to revere or worship with extended or uplifted hands. You know what he's saying? He's saying you need to come to God with such a reverence and worship that you lift up your hands unto him and worship him and give him thanks for all that he's doing in your life. Amen. In other words, your thanksgiving is what gets your hands in the air. And your thankfulness for who he is in your life and what he's doing for you get your hands in the air and your mouth filled with thanksgiving and praise. Amen. Now let's read on. He goes on and he says this, "For the Lord is good." Oh, I like that. Oh, hallelujah. Have you found out the Lord is good yet? Or are you still trying to figure it out? Amen. I want to tell you, he is good and his mercy is everlasting. Oh, praise God forevermore. Aren't you glad his mercy, his compassion, his desire to help you is everlasting? Do you know that's what mercy means? God's compassion, God's pity, his eager yearning to help you is everlasting. That's what mercy means. That's why the people, whenever Jesus would, you know, would walk in the people that were hurting and blind and sick and defeated and bound, you know, they'd hear it was Jesus. What would they start doing? "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Release your compassion and your love and your goodness and your desire to help me, Lord. Just out of your love, take care of me and help me." Hallelujah. Don't want to get ahead of myself because that's going to be the next message I preach to you. Praise God. But anyway, on his mercies. Hallelujah. But I want you to look at this. "For the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting and his truth." Now, in John 17:17, Jesus said, "Sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth." So we can say it like this, "And the truth of his word endures to all generations." Meaning what? Whatever God said to David, he's saying to you and me right now. Amen? His truth, his word is never going to change. It's forever settled in heaven, and his truth is to you. So that means all these things that we're reading in this 100th Psalm is now ours. It's spoken to you and me. Amen? So God is speaking to me about attitude. He's talking to me about actions. He's talking to me about how I carry myself and how I deal with things and how I approach him. And notice it is all in a place of worship. It is a place of thanksgiving. It's a place of intimacy. It's a place of respect and revere. Amen? And worshiping and thanking him for who he is. Praise God. Now, I want you to look over here in Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Hebrews chapter 13, I'll read it to you out of the New King James, but then I'm going to look in the Amplified because it'll bring it out just a little bit more. Hebrews 13:15. Notice here what the apostle says to the Hebrews. He says, "Therefore, by him," notice this, "by him," by Jesus, "let us continually," everybody say continually. Notice he doesn't say "let us" every now and then when we feel like it or when things are good. When there's no problems, when all the birds are singing, the sun is out, and the temperature is the perfect temperature, and everybody thinks you're just something special. Amen? No, notice what he says. "Therefore, by him," by the Lord, not through your own strength, not through your own power, "by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise." Notice the sacrifice. A sacrifice is something that costs you. He's talking about praising God when it's not easy to praise God. Amen? A sacrifice is something that you offer to God that you do out of a love for him, that you're going to give up something for him. In other words, instead of me sitting here moaning, groaning, complaining, and murmuring, I'm going to bring my flesh under, and through my relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm going to have an attitude of praise and thanksgiving to God, and I'm going to offer a sacrifice of praise. What's it mean? I don't feel like praising God. I don't have anything that makes me look like I should praise God, but I remember that the Lord is good and his mercy. Mercy endures forever, and his truth is to all generations. So I'm going to praise God because he's my God. He made me, and he made me to be sheep of his pasture. So he's my good shepherd. So right in the midst of my mess, I'm going to thank God and have a good attitude. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm going to praise him through the Lord, through the strength that I have in the Lord. Notice he goes on, he says, how you're supposed to praise him? That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Woo. Giving thanks Hallelujah. Let me read it to you out of the Amplified. It says, through him, therefore, let us constantly, now listen, and at all times offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of lips that thankfully acknowledge and confess and glorify his name. Ooh, hallelujah. Isn't that good? In other words, out of my lips, I'm going to thankfully acknowledge and confess and glorify his name. In all situations, praise God. So what's he saying here? Don't let the enemy determine your attitude or your actions. Don't let your circumstances determine what you say. Amen? Don't let the situation or somebody else determine how you're going to approach God or how you're going to live your life or your attitude towards life or attitude towards that situation. In other words, I'm not going to join the mob that's complaining all the time. If I have to stand over here by myself, me and the Lord Jesus, instead of getting caught up in all that critical, hypocritical murmuring and fussing and why and woe's me and the world's going to hell in a handbasket and I'm going to step right out of that, and I'm going to put my eyes on the Lord. I'm going to say, Lord, I'm going to offer you the sacrifice of praise, because really, in the natural, my flesh wants to join this bunch, because it ain't any better for me than it is for them. But you know what? Instead of letting that determine my attitude today, Jesus, my relationship with you is going to determine my attitude today. Are you hearing me? And Lord, my love for you and your goodness is going to determine what's coming out of my mouth today. And instead of complaining and murmuring and fussing and speaking all the junk, I'm going to praise you and thank you. And I'm going to let the fruit of my lips bring praise and thanksgiving unto you. Amen? Now, let's find another place. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Glory to God. Look what he says down here in verse 15. We'll pick it up there and read a few verses here. Once again, I'll read to you out of the New King James. We'll touch a little bit of this on the Amplified. But here in verse 16, actually is where I want to start. He says, 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always. Two words, but it's pretty plain, isn't it? I mean, you don't really have to add much more to that. Rejoice always, you mean always. What's always mean? Always. Okay, let's put it in just good old Appalachian, you know. Rejoice, y'all, all the time. Hallelujah. Amen. Just keep some rejoicing in y'all's mouth. Amen. Rejoice always. Don't matter. Sun up, sun down. Good time, bad time. People like you, people don't like you. You just got a miracle. You just got a bad report. Rejoice always. Amen. I'm going to keep an attitude. Like I said, my enemy and my situation is not going to determine my attitude and how I live. Because I'm sheep of his pasture. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. Now look what else he says. Pray without ceasing. I'm going to stay in prayer. That means I'm going to persevere in prayer. I'm not going to give up on my prayer life with God. Well, I haven't seen any answers yet. Well, just keep on. Just keep standing. Keep believing. Why would you? You know, prayer means stay in communication with God. Amen. Really, prayer is not you just making a request. Prayer is you talking with God and letting God talk to you and staying in communication with him. Amen? So we could say it like this. Stay in fellowship and communication with God all the time. Don't let something separate you from your prayer life with God. Then he goes on, he says this. In everything. Wonder what that means. You mean in everything? What's everything mean? I guess it means everything, doesn't it? Huh? Notice he says in everything. Notice he doesn't say for everything. Huh? Why? Because not everything comes from God. Sickness is not from God. Bills that you can't pay are not from God. People, you know, doing things to you is not from God. God does not send evil upon people. Amen? James said, when you're tempted, don't say it's God tempting me with evil and trying to, you know, no. He says, that's the enemy tempting you through your flesh. Amen? But in everything, whether it's good or bad, whether you're having a fun time or you're having a bad time, in every situation. Can we say it like that? In every situation you'll find yourself, what am I supposed to do, Paul? Give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. God's will in that situation you keep a good attitude. It's God's will in that situation that you stay grateful to Him and keep your eyes on Him and watch out for Him. Amen. Look what He says in the Amplified. Be happy in your faith. Oh, I like that. Amen. There's so many miserable Christians. I feel like I've got to go all over this country preaching to backsliders that they need to quit being so miserable because they're saved. Hallelujah. Amen. Be happy in your faith. Well, I wish I had more faith. Quit talking it and just be happy with what you got. Well, I don't have real strong faith. I don't want to hear it. Be happy you got some faith. If you get happy about what you got, God will give you some more. Amen. Be happy in your faith and rejoice and be glad-hearted continually, always. What's that mean? Just be happy all the time. But you don't understand, Brother Huffman. I just got these on that. Once again, I told you, don't let the circumstances determine your attitude. Your relationship with Jesus is why you're rejoicing all the time and being happy. Amen? How many of you know it doesn't take a whole lot of effort to find something to get depressed about? Amen? I mean, just look around. You don't have to go looking very far to find something bad. Amen? But you know what God is doing? He's saying in all that mess, you need to maintain a happy, fun, living for God, I love Jesus relationship. Amen. One time, this is years ago, somebody says, how many years ago? Well, it was back in 1976. That's a few years ago, isn't it? Praise God. Hallelujah. How many were not born in 1976? Hallelujah. A bunch, right? But anyway, I was ministering as youth minister down in Johnson City, Tennessee, in the Baptist church there we were going to while I was finishing up at college. And we took our youth group to a weekend getaway for a youth camp, and there was other youth groups there, and we took a goodly number of youth over there that Friday, Saturday, and coming back Sunday afternoon. Friday evening, the service was so bad, it was just awful. I mean, it was just, I even thought it was awful. And and our kids are complaining, we have to go to any more of these things. And so the next morning, we got up and we went to the early morning, that we went to breakfast and we went to the morning service. And when we got done, it was like, can we go home now? And I'm sitting there thinking, it's awful. The praise was awful. The message was awful. They did some stupid little game that was really dumb, and it was awful. And I'm thinking, who put this together? And so I'm praying. I say, Lord, I need to come up with something because this is going to be a real tragedy this weekend if we don't find something. And Lord said, tell them to look for something good in every service. And then after that service, come together and have a share time and speak good things into them and tell them, don't major on the bad things. Just find one. If you can find one good thing, we're going to talk about it after we come back, and we're all going to meet in a certain room. And so that afternoon we had a session, we came back, and I said, no, give me something good. And so we started talking about something good. And we'd find something here. Well, I met this person. This was fun. We did that Saturday evening. And then Sunday morning we got up and we had a service with them, and we met together before we left, and we put it together and we went back that afternoon. So we got back home and we actually went to the church, got back into town about the time the church service started, and the pastor comes to me and he says, well, Brother Darrell, how did it go? I said, Pastor, it was probably the worst youth retreat weekend that we could have ever gone to. He goes, oh my God. I said, but the kids are going to tell you it was terrible, but then they're not going to be able to tell you what was terrible, and they're going to tell you they had a great time. He goes, why? I said, because we found something good in every situation, and we majored on the one or two good things and didn't talk about the others. So he brought them in. We brought all the youth, had about 20, and they came in, and he started talking to them. He said, how was it? Oh, it was terrible. Well, what was wrong? I don't know. Was there anything good? Oh, yeah, we did this, and we did that, and we did this, and we did that. You know what? When we got our eyes off of all the glaring bad stuff and started finding good things, we had a great retreat. You know what we did? We just acted on the Word instead of acting on the flesh. Oh, come on, give me a good amen, somebody. And that's exactly what the apostle is trying to get across. That's what David's trying to get across. In every situation you find yourself in, you can either get miserable and upset and aggravated, or you can find something good to thank the Lord for. Amen? I remember Brother Hagin telling the story. He said there was a gentleman in his town where he, when he was back in his early 20s and just starting to pastor. And he said there was a fella, and he said he was the meanest fella in town. Said even the police was scared of him. Said they just have to send out two or three squad cars, and not one of them did, because he came back from serving overseas, and he was kind of messed up, and he'd get drunk, and then he'd want to fight, and he was tough. And so it'd take six or seven of them to subdue him every time. And so finally, they kept praying for him. One day, he finally died. And it was sad, but some people were just kind of, you know, relieved, because they didn't know if he was going to beat them up next or not. But Brother Hagin said they had his service, and he said he went to the service, and the, one of this older gentleman was there, and he said this was probably the nicest gentleman in the city, little old town. And he said, you know, he was an elderly gentleman, and he said he always had something good to say about everybody. And he said everybody wanted to know when he was going to come by and pay his respects what he was going to say about this guy who was just a scoundrel. And so he said, the older gentleman, Brother Hagin said, I got over there real close because I wanted to hear what he had to say. And he said he walked up and he said he looked at him and he stood there and several people gathered around to see what he's going to say. And he said he stared a little bit more and he looked a little bit more and he's still quiet and he's still standing there. And finally he looked around and says, you know, he had a pretty smile, didn't he? And turned around and walked off. Hallelujah. Amen. You know what he did? He found something good, even in a bad situation. Amen? And the Lord is talking to us here. He's ministering to us. He's trying to show us how to keep ourselves walking in victory in this life. Notice what he says here again, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. Be happy in your faith and rejoice and be glad-hearted continually, always. In other words, be a good Christian. Have fun being a Christian. Don't sit back and say, well, I can remember when I was a sinner, man. We used to go out and do this. You was going to hell. What was the fun about that? Come on. The devil had you by the nose, ringing you around everywhere you went. Well, that wasn't nothing fun about that. Those weren't good days. Lord, have mercy. Change your thinking, man. You're having a whole lot more fun being a Christian than you was back there. Amen. I can get high and not have a hangover the next morning, praise God. Because my high comes from my walk with the Lord, not from something I smoked or stuck in my arm, amen, or snorted up my nose. Look what he says. Be unceasing in prayer, praying perseveringly. In other words, stay with it. Don't give up. Don't quit because you didn't see the answer. God's working for you. Stay on it. Don't give up on your prayers. Then he says, thank God in everything. Now listen to the next part. No matter what the circumstances may be thankful and give thanks, for this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and the mediator of that will. Do not quench, suppress, or subdue the Holy Spirit. In other words, he's saying this. If you want the Holy Ghost to help you and work with you and manifest in your life, you can't be complaining and fussing and having a bad attitude. He says, you want to quench the Spirit of God from being able to help you out of that mess? Get in a bad attitude. Get in some bad language. Get in some bad conduct. And you'll quench the Holy Spirit. You'll restrict him. He'll be bound up and won't be able to help you. But God says, in that situation, if you say, Lord, I don't feel like praising you, but in Jesus, I'm going to offer the sacrifice of praise. I'm going to praise you, Lord. It may not be a lot of inspiration, but it's coming from the heart. Hallelujah. And Lord God, I may feel like I want to cuss, but I'm going to bless. And Lord God, I may feel like I want to just go someplace and just be defeated and depressed, but Lord, I'm going to stand here and I'm going to reverence you. I'm going to worship you and be thankful. That means I'm going to extend my hands up to you in reverence and worship you and praise you. And you know what will happen? As you're praising and worshiping and thanking God, the Holy Ghost will take hold together with you, and all of a sudden he'll turn your captivity and bring you out of that mess over into a place of victory. Hallelujah. That's why it's God's will for you to do this. You're releasing God to work in your behalf. Are you hearing me? The day that King David said in Psalm 22, he said, the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. He's enthroned upon the praises. In other words, God will come and work for you if you keep that good, thankful, praise attitude. an attitude of gratitude. Amen? Now, look over here in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Hallelujah. I want you to see something here. And, see, and we've laid a foundation because I want you to see this. Deuteronomy chapter 28, the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, Moses lays out the blessing of Abraham that you got it by obeying the works of God, and the curse that came on the law if you disobey. So he tells you here all the things that are going to happen. In verse 1 and 2, he says it like this. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings, everybody say blessings. All these blessings shall come upon you and shall overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Ooh, hallelujah. That's good news, isn't it? Amen. The Amplified reads it this way. If you will listen diligently to the voice of the Lord your God. See, you got to listen to God. Amen. And he says, listen diligently. You know that in every situation you're in, you have two voices speaking to you. Oh, I got your attention though. You got the devil over here telling you how bad it's going to be, and you got God over here trying to get your attention to show you how to get out of it. And in every situation you find yourself in, you have one voice telling you to be mad, upset, fussing, complaining, aggravating, quit, bail out, do something nasty. And you got this other voice which is coming from God, and he's telling you, obey my voice, listen to what I'm telling you to do, do the word, stay with the word. Amen. And so Moses here is speaking to us, and he's giving us some great truth, and he's showing us what we're supposed to do. So once again, in verse 1, he says, if you will listen diligently to the voice of the Lord your God. In other words, choose to listen to God in that situation. Amen? Choose to hear what God has to say. And then he goes on and says this, being watchful to do all his commandments. In other words, just don't listen to him, do what he says. Amen? Somebody says, you mean God will speak to you? God will speak to you through the Spirit, but he also speaks to you through his word. You know, in fact, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, he'll tell you to do what the word says. Because he's the Spirit of truth and the word is truth. So therefore, the Holy Spirit will always lead us and speak to us in line with the word of God. He will never speak to you outside of the word of God. He's come to reveal the word of God to us. Amen. So when the Lord is speaking to us, he's going to speak to us the word. And we can be spoken to by reading the word. The Holy Spirit will make it jump off that page and right into your life. Amen. But then he says this, once he spoke to you, be watchful to do all his commandments, which I command you this day. The Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. Now listen, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you heed the voice of the Lord your God. In other words, in that situation, when your flesh is trying to take you down, when the enemy's trying to get you to cuss and fuss, if in that situation you'll take charge of yourself and maintain a good attitude and listen to God and say, no, I'm going to do what Jesus would have me to do. I'm going to praise God and thank God and maintain a good attitude with good actions, then the Lord will bless you. Amen? Somebody says, but that's hard. It's hard if you try and do it yourself. But we read over there in Hebrews 13, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. In other words, in that mess, you know what you need to do? Be honest with yourself. Say, Lord, I'm about to lose it. I really need some strength. Lord Jesus, I'm about to fuss. And it ain't too far from fuss to cuss. So I really need you. Come on. Are we preaching right where we're living tonight? And somebody said, my God. Yeah. So, Lord, I really need you to help me to get a hold of my words and begin to praise my God. Amen. And I don't feel like, and see, when you're doing this, there's going to be another voice talking to you. You hypocrite. You know you don't believe this. You know you don't feel anything. You know you're just saying that. You know you don't mean it. It's the sacrifice of praise, devil. That means I don't feel it. That means but I do mean it. And that just means that there's no inspiration yet, but I'm doing it unto God. That means I'm sacrificing. That means I'm killing the fuss. I'm killing the cuss. And I'm lifting up life of the praise unto God. Amen? I'm sacrificing that so I can have what God wants me to have. Are you hearing me? Because He is God and we are not. Amen? Therefore, I'm going to do what He wants to do, not what I want to do. Amen? And when I bring my I want to do in line with what He wants to do, I get blessed. That's what He just said right here. Amen? But now jump down to verse 45. We're talking about attitude. We're talking about being grateful, having a grateful attitude, and having gratitude about the things of God. Look down here, and let's pick it up in verse 45, and I'm going to read all this out of the Amplified. It says, all these curses, everybody say curses. And many of you know a curse is not a good thing. You don't want this, amen? So we're going to find out what we don't want happening in our lives. All these curses shall come upon you and shall pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed. See, a curse comes to destroy you. And a curse comes from the devil because Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So anything that's destroying, stealing, and killing from your life is coming from the devil, and you don't want anything to do with that. Amen? And all these curses shall come upon you and shall pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed because you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep His commandments and His statutes which He commanded you. They shall be upon you for a sign or of warning to others and a wonder and upon the descendants forever. Now listen to what's going to come upon you. Verse 47, here's one I want you to get. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness of mind and heart in gratitude for the abundance of all with which He had blessed you. Your attitude and your lack of gratitude, even though you maybe did the right thing, got you under the curse, not the blessing. Well, I go to church all the time. I don't know why I'm not blessed. You just told me. Well, I prayed all day and God didn't answer me. I don't know why you think it's so good. I just showed you why you didn't get blessed. Can we read it again? Verse 47. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness. And a heart of gratitude for the abundance of which He has blessed you. Amen. Somebody says, yeah, but it's hard. No, you're wrong. It's not hard to do what God tells you to do. Well, how can you say that? I didn't say that. John, the apostle, said that. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, he says, for this is the love of God, that we obey His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. It's not hard. It's not hard to serve God. His commandments are not grievous and burdensome and weight. In other words, it's not a yoke of bondage for me to live for God. It brings liberty. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. In other words, he's saying this. He's saying your attitude is determining your altitude. Whether you're going high and flying and soaring like an eagle, or you're down on the ground flopping like a chicken, he says your attitude is what's hurting you the most. And then not being grateful and thankful to God. How many of us have taken time? You think, now he talks about praying and persevering in prayer, but I want to ask you something. In your prayer life, the Bible says, Paul told the Philippians over there, he says, not to be anxious for anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Think back. When was the last time you just went to God and said, Lord, I'm not going to ask you for anything anymore. I'm just going to praise you and thank you. In your prayer time, how much of it is asking and how much of it is thanking? Amen. When you're doing the things of God, is it done with an attitude of gratitude and rejoicing and thanking God? I'm thankful I can read my Bible. I'm going to be going to a nation real soon that they don't want you reading the Bible. In fact, there are other religions there that are coming against Christianity all the time, and they try to rip Bibles up and throw them away. They won't let you bring them in the country and hand them out and all this other stuff. I'm getting ready to go and preach to some Christians in some real tough situations. And they're struggling. And I'm going to be ministering to ministers that are out here, and they get kicked out of their families because they're Christians now. And then they get ostracized in their communities because they're in the ministry and they're Christians. And then they've gone to certain churches that don't even believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, and they won't even let them preach all the truth that they've got. And a lot of them are just really discouraged. And the minister said, "Would you come in and just speak into their lives and help them to stand strong?" I'm so thankful that I live in a country that I can read my Bible yet, and I can pray, and I can worship God, and I can show up on a midweek service or a Sunday morning with other people and lift my hands and sing songs of praise unto my God. Amen. I'm thankful for what the Lord's done in my life. I'm thankful for all the good things that He's done for me. And we, you know what we need to do? Sometimes what we need to do is just stop asking and start thanking and praising and rejoicing and thinking about all the good things He has done for us. Amen? And begin to give Him glory and honor. Just a couple more scriptures and we're going to begin to thank the Lord. I want you to look in Proverbs real quick. Proverbs chapter 17. Why is it so important that I praise the Lord and thank Him and worship Him? Because I want to get under the blessing and not the curse. I want to serve God for a good attitude, amen, with a grateful attitude. In Proverbs 17 and 22, listen to what he says. A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries a bone. A merry heart, a happy heart, a grateful heart, a thankful heart. And your heart's your spirit. In other words, whenever I'm merry and happy and rejoicing and praising God, it's like pumping medicine into my body. How many of you know there's healing in praise? There's healing in worship. There's healing in a good attitude. Doctors will tell you right now, if you go to a doctor and you have a terrible attitude and don't think you're going to get well, it doesn't matter what they treat you with, you ain't going to make it. Your attitude is half of you getting well. Amen. And so that's what the Bible says. Look in Proverbs, the 15th chapter. Just jump back real quick to verse 13. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance or a cheerful face.
I'm happy.
Well, you need to inform your face because right now you're keeping it a big secret. Hallelujah. Amen. I've got the joy of the Lord in my heart. Well, you need to let it come up about a foot and a half. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. A merry heart. If your heart's really merry, it's going to show up on your face. Amen. You're going to smile. You're going to have an attitude of gratitude. You're going to begin to thank the Lord, and it's going to show up in your countenance. It's going to show up in your walk. It's going to show up in how you treat people. It's going to show up in how you talk. It's going to show up in your voice. Yeah. And I'm not the one that's making this up. God says it right here. And then finally, in verse 15 of Proverbs 15, and I want to read it out of the Amplified. All the days of the desponding and afflicted are made evil by anxious thoughts and foreboding. You sit around anxious, worried, wonder what I'm going to do, talking about all the bad stuff, and it's misery. Amen? It's awful. Are you hearing me? But look what he says in the last part. But he who has a glad heart has a continual feast regardless of the circumstances. Woo, hallelujah. But he who is of a glad heart has a continual feast regardless of the... You know what? I'm going to be blessed. I don't care what's going on around me. I'm going to have a party, and I don't care where I'm at. That's an attitude you have to develop. You've got to get a hold of this, church. The Apostle Paul had to learn this. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, a devil that was attacking him all the time, a demon that was trying to bring him down. Everywhere he went, it stirred up problems. It came against him. It got people. He got stoned. He got shipwrecked. I mean, he tried to kill him. The devil's all the time trying to kill Paul. And Paul went to God three times and said, "Oh, God, take this off of me." And every time he went to God, you know what the God's response was? My grace is sufficient. What's he talking about? Well, Paul never did get delivered. You didn't read the Bible. God didn't say he wasn't going to deliver him. God was saying to him, Paul, as long as you're murmuring, fussing, and complaining and got your attention on the problems, I can't do anything for you. You have been preaching other people to put on their armor. You've been preaching other people to use the name of Jesus. You've been preaching other people to rejoice always. You've been preaching other people that greater is he that's in you. You've been preaching all these things about being more than a conqueror. Paul, you're going to have to practice what you preach, son. My grace is sufficient. Act like I'm God. Are you hearing me? I don't know what you're facing tonight, but God is God. His grace is sufficient. He's there for you. Act like it. And so what did Paul do? Paul, after the third time, he's a little slow, but he wasn't dumb. Amen? I've used that. Man, I said, Lord, I'm a little slow, but I ain't stupid. Thank God. I finally got it. Hallelujah. The third time, Paul thought, what's God trying to say to me? Oh, God's telling me his grace is big enough to get me through that. I don't have to worry about that. I shouldn't be fussing about that. I shouldn't be focused on all the problems. I should be focused on God. So Paul said, and I'll paraphrase it for you. Paul says, so I've learned that rather than fuss and complain and murmur and beg God to get me out of that mess, instead, in all those reproaches and all those struggles and all those attacks, I take pleasure. I rejoice. I keep a good attitude. I maintain an attitude of gratitude right in the midst of all that stuff, and God delivers me right through the whole thing. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Then in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, Paul gets the greatest test of his life. Paul's there preaching, establishing a church, and getting people set free, and he gets this little young lady that was a fortune teller with a demon. He casts the demon out. She gets saved and gloriously delivered, and what they do, they beat him up and put him in jail. You've read the story. What did Paul do in the jail? He got in the jail, but Paul never let the jail get in him. Amen. Amen? What did Paul do? He practiced what he had learned. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. They began to rejoice. You know what he did? He dealt with his attitude. He became grateful unto God. Singing praises unto God means you're exalting the Lord and magnifying the Lord and thanking the Lord. And you know what happened while they were singing praises and the prisoners were listening and everybody? You know, Paul's doing what Peter said. Paul's back there showing forth the praises of him who has called him out of darkness into his marvelous light. He's back there acting like the people of God. He's back there acting in his redemption. He's back there having an attitude of gratitude with his back bleeding, his feet in stocks in a stinking cell. And he's back there praising God, not letting that bother him, not letting his circumstances determine who he is, but letting his relationship with Jesus determine who he is. And having fun even in the midst of hurt. Yes, having fun. That's good. And in the midst of him singing praises, God came down and shook that jail, destroyed the chains, and let him go and brought him out. Amen? I'm going to tell you something, folks. What we need to do is add praise, gratitude, and thanksgiving back into our Christian walk. Amen. I read the story of a missionary. And he was on the field and he's preaching and he contracted a deadly disease. And the doctors came in and said, we don't think he'll make it 48 hours. We've never seen anybody live who's got this disease. And so he began to pray, but then God showed him a vision. And in his prayer and his vision, God showed him a scale. And this scale, you know, scales will tilt up and down. You got a pan here and a pan here. He said, on one side of the scales was requests, and it was way down. On the other side was only a few praises, and it was way up here. And the Lord said, when the praises outweigh the requests, your healing will come forth. And so he said, I've realized ain't no use me praying anymore. I got to start praising and thanking God. And so they said for the next 24 hours solid, he lay in his bed praising God with all the strength that he had. And everybody said, bless his heart. He's gone delirious. Well, at least he's going to die praising God. But he wasn't going to die. He's going to balance out his scales. And he laid back there and he began to praise and thank God. And within 24 hours, he was still laying back there praising God. He hit 36 hours, about a day and a half into that thing. All of a sudden, the power of God came in his room. Every symptom left, and he jumped out of his bed and ran around the room praising God with his hand lifted up. And he said he realized that the scales had been balanced. He had added enough praise and gratitude to balance out the request that he put on the other side. Amen. Maybe the reason we're not getting our breakthroughs is our scales are out of balance. We've been asking God for a whole lot of stuff, but we haven't taken time to thank Him for all the good things He's got for us. And after a while, you need to quit asking and start thanking. That's what God was telling Paul. Paul, quit asking me to do something for you and start operating my grace and thanking me for it, and I'll do it for you. Amen.